This is the Voice Overwork podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at tools of system thinkers. Learn advanced deduction, decision-making, and problem-solving skills with mental models and system maps. The Systems Thinker Series, Book 6, written by Albert Rutherford, narrated by Russell Newton. Introduction. Albert Einstein once posed this question: have you ever thought about how you think? A lot of people would say no. After all, when was the last time we stopped to analyze our own thinking? Herein lies the problem. Einstein pointed out that certain issues cannot be solved with the same kind of thinking that created those issues in the first place. Certainly, second and third guessing every thought crossing our mind is not a reasonable expectation. It is time-consuming and, frankly, tiring. What we can do, however, is learn to memorize, so to say, new thought patterns and use them to our benefit. My mission in this book is to make a shift in your cognitive assessment style to develop the most optimal solution to the problems in your life. The rewired thinking plan I'm talking about is called systems thinking. What is systems thinking? People tend to view the world as an accumulation of separate, independent elements. This is the grocery store. Those are the products in it. We like to buy shallots instead of onions. There are more gas stations in our area than in the city nearby. We take these elements of life for granted without much questioning. But why are there more gas stations in our town? How do the shallots get to the supermarket? How are these things connected? Systems thinking is a way of viewing the world as a cluster of interdependent systems. Think of it as a large machine in which one cogwheel drives the next. Everything is related to each other, no matter how far-fetched it may seem. The big supermarket we have in our town attracts a lot of buyers from the surrounding smaller ones. Many suppliers come and go daily to restock the shelves of the supermarket with all sorts of goods. For this purpose, gas stations tend to cluster in this area. Chapter 1, The System Mindset. One of the most significant leaps in understanding and solving both the intricate and everyday problems of life came along with the development of systems thinking. MIT professor Jay Forrester realized the need for a better perspective on worldwide problems. In 1956, he started outlining a new approach that today we call systems thinking. Just like engineering principles help us better understand mechanical structures, systems thinking helps us gain deeper insight into social, economic, and ecological systems. Forrester's approach is fundamentally different from that of traditional analysis. While the latter focuses on dissecting and studying individual and separate parts, systems thinking encourages us to notice the relations and connections between every element. It can be said that systems thinking is like seeing the big picture instead of only a part of it. Let's see an example of systems thinking cognitive perspective, reducing crop damage caused by insects. When an insect is damaging our crops, the traditional response is to use pesticides to eliminate them. Assume there is a fully effective pesticide that can kill all the insects and has no side effects on humans. Would it help the farmers in the long run? Who can tell? Based on historical data, the pesticide solution's problem is that it has decreasing effectiveness. As pests develop immunity against it, we need to use more and more pesticides. Or it can also facilitate the spread of another insect type that is left without a natural predator, given the initial insect population was eradicated. Pesticides can make the whole situation even worse than before in the long term. Looking at problems through a systems thinking. Chapter 2, Mental Models and Mind Maps. Introducing the idea of mental models. We are surrounded by models. We use them to predict elections, forecast economic performance, and even the fashion industry shows how certain clothes would look on a person. Doctors use models to make a diagnosis, and structural engineers create the foundation of buildings thanks to them. And in systems thinking, we use models to illustrate the interconnections inside a system. We can create a model to see how an actor or dynamic will perform over the long run. We call these models behavior over time graphs. Cluster maps model a series of seemingly unrelated ideas and find connections between them. We can illustrate behavior in general through stock and flow diagrams and so on. We'll learn more about each of these models in the following chapters, but first, let's see, what is a model? If we take the meaning literally, the word model means a smaller version of something big. Think about the rudimentary war plans our ancestors made. The chief took a wooden stick and modeled the war field into the sand. He explained where forces should be split, concentrated, a bigger rock they could hide behind, and so on. We recognized early the value of simplification. It is much easier to understand and explain things in a visual way. Maps are models. They're meant to model the geographical environment of a given size of land on a small piece of paper. The map accurately represents the proportions and dimensions of what it depicts, yet not every map is the same. They're designed and composed differently depending on the purpose they serve. A map for a GPS, for example, will look different than an Three, cluster maps. What are cluster maps? A cluster map has quite a self-descriptive name. You dump every idea your brain can come up with concerning the complex problem you're dealing with. This is not a place to be selective about your brainstorming. Just allow a free flow for your thoughts. Keep in mind, the ideas have to be related to the system or the complex problem. Visually speaking, in a cluster map, we write the central problem, question, or topic in the middle of a paper. Then, around this central issue, we write our other related ideas. These ideas will serve as the elements of the particular system we're exploring. We can write them wherever on the paper, as they are interconnected. Once we've collected every element we could think of, it's time to discover the interconnections. This will be the part that reveals the not-so-obvious aspects of the system. It will significantly help us to expand our view and understand the actual complexity of what we're dealing with. The more data we collect from mapping out the interconnections, the more we will see which parts of the system need our intervention the most. This being said, compulsive and obsessive intervening will not lead to better outcomes. Like aggregation, we need to find the fine line where the intervention will benefit the overall system dynamics. Some people want to interfere at all costs before they've properly understood and embraced the system's natural chaos. Any type of relationship is messy, and so should your cluster map be. The more chaotic your map looks after you connect everything with everything, the better. On the one hand, you will have a chain of insights, one leading to the next. On the other hand, some elements will start to stand out. Chapter 4, Interconnected Circle Maps. What do you think? Is an aggressive approach to foreign policy more likely to deter war or to start one? Are pesticides that keep crops healthier and harvests more abundant worth the risk of an ecological disaster? Have you ever thought about exploring a negative movie character's actions from multiple perspectives? Some questions appear quite simple on the surface, but are they really? And the answers to these questions are rarely black or white. These issues occur on a spectrum of gray. Those who practice systems thinking know that identifying the central causal relationship within a problem is difficult. Finding the bottleneck point of optimal intervention is even more challenging. An interconnected circle map can be a valuable visual tool to explore the problem areas of a system. It can give the analyzer the potential to dive deeply into the causal relationships of the dynamic system. Interconnected circle maps expose the parts within the system and show the whole picture at the same time. One can synthesize the most significant flows in the system. Also, one can discover divergent elements and develop an impactful intervention plan to fix the identified issue. An interconnected circle map is a great collaboration tool. Like cluster maps, they're best done by a group of people where many observations and opinions can be represented. Like the progress from level 1 to level 2 in a computer game, that's how cluster maps relate to interconnected circle maps. How can you transform your cluster maps into its advanced interconnected circle vision? Document every significant element in your... Chapter 5, Causal Loop Diagrams. System dynamics is the sum of activities happening within a system. These behaviors create feedback loops that balance, maintain, or change the system. We can better understand these processes if we broaden our perspective on causality, namely, how one action leads to another in a dynamic, ever-changing system. We previously learned that there are two kinds of feedback loops, reinforcing and balancing. In a reinforcing loop, the elements repeatedly perform the same action, resulting in exponential growth or decay. In a balancing loop, the elements of the system balance each other out. Both loops can bring along positive or negative consequences. A balancing loop can cause stability or stagnation. A reinforcing loop can be responsible for desired or undesired growth or decay. Causal loop diagrams, CLDs, are meant to give us a conceptual framework and language to understand the reason behind balancing and reinforcing dynamics. We can see each diagram as a sentence with the elements as subjects, the interconnections as the verb, and all the other syntax parts to explain the causal relationship between them. Adding multiple sentences or diagrams together, we get a coherent text. We end up with a story of the system's problem. A causal loop diagram chain basically shows how things interact. This chapter presents how to create causal loop diagrams, which represent feedback in a system. These diagrams are great for quickly capturing your hypotheses about the causes of dynamics, eliciting and capturing the mental model. Chapter 6, Behavior Over Time Graphs. Behavior over time graphs, or BOTGs, illustrate patterns and trends within a system. They show how something changes over an extended time. It's a simple tool to understand the complex nature of systems. The BOTG looks as follows. Picture 15, Behavior Over Time Graph. The x-axis represents the passing of time, and the y-axis shows a scale of the ongoing change in the system. The line crossing the graph represents the story of the element we're examining. BOTGs give a visual explanation of our thoughts and help us understand our thinking better and draw new conclusions. We can clearly follow how specific patterns evolve and change as time passes, which gives a broader perspective than looking at isolated snapshots of events. These graphs inspire deep conversations about why and how things are changing. Everything changes around us always. The stock market fluctuates. An accident happens on the highway, your laptop gets slower, and your package gets delayed. These are all events affecting our everyday lives. Some we need to address quickly, but meaningful change won't happen if we stay on the event level of thinking and acting in the long run. With behavior over time graphs, we can see patterns underlying the problems we're experiencing. For example, the stock market fluctuates in the short run. But historical evidence shows that over a 10, 15, or 20-year investment period, most people make money on it if they're willing to endure economic highs and lows. We can check the record of the most dangerous highway sections, meaning where accidents happen more often. We can decide to avoid that chunk of it. And to Chapter 7, Stock and Flow Diagrams. Let's recapitulate what we know about systems so far. Systems are comprised of elements or variables that are interconnected and work towards achieving an outcome. We call this the purpose or function of the system. We also know that the events within the system are dynamic. They arise because of a specific cause or causes. We can trace this with causal loop diagrams. These events influence the system's behavior, which, over time, can reveal some patterns. We can analyze this with behavior over time graphs. Thanks to the repeating patterns, we can decide if the system is affected by reinforcing or balancing feedback mechanisms. All that I've described so far is a part of what we call the dynamic systems model. Stocks and flows are essential parts of this model. A stock is an element, or variable, that is measured at one given moment in time. It shows the quantity of the element present at that point in time. A flow is measured over an interval of time. Thus, we would attribute units of time measurement to our flows, for example, over the last month or year. Here's another way of explaining stocks and flows. Donella Meadows, in her book Thinking in Systems, A Primer, talks about stocks and flows as being the foundation of every system. Stock. A stock can be something physical, like the amount of money in your account, your business inventory, or the information needed to write a book. However, stocks don't necessarily have to be physical things. They can also be feelings or attitudes people hold. The amount of anger you hold toward a cheating spouse or an alcoholic parent can also... This has been Tools of System Thinkers. Learn advanced deduction, decision-making, and problem-solving skills with mental models and system maps. The Systems Thinker Series, Book 6, written by Albert Rutherford, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2021 by Albert Rutherford. Production copyright by Albert Rutherford. Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.